When Gary Johnson 10 days ago tabbed as his potential running mate former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, it led to one of the largest bursts of attention in the history of the modern Libertarian Party. People all throughout the media were writing that there's some strange new possibilities afoot for the third party. What they probably didn't count on was that at the Libertarian Party convention itself, which is ongoing in Orlando, Florida, that pick would be met with a lot more skepticism. So we're here today with former Governor William Weld to talk about it. Thank you for joining Reason TV.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
So to what do you attribute this skepticism with which you have been greeted by some people here?
Well, the members of the party don't know me. I mean, they haven't seen me. I've been out of politics 10 years. They don't know that on my first day in office in Massachusetts, I started my first press conference by saying, fellow libertarians. They don't know that in law school, my favorite author was Friedrich Hayek, the author of The Constitution of Liberty and The Road to Serfdom. They don't know that when I was governor, I went to Ed Crane's Cato Institute parties, the annual one in Arizona, virtually every year. And I've been a, from time to time, financial supporter of Cato. They're my kind of people. When I went as a fairly new governor and gave a speech at the convention in Houston that nominated George W. against Pat Buchanan, all the new governors got to make a short speech, and mine began, I want the government out of your pocketbook and out of your bedroom. I'm an economic conservative and I'm socially tolerant and inclusive. That's some of my political positions.
Let's talk about that aspect of
right.
it. You've been in politics or around politics for quite a long time. Describe kind of the both the ideological opportunity and then the pragmatic opportunity when faced with two candidates like this and two unfavorability kind of ratings like this.
Well, I think, and again, nothing's certain, and I'm not assuming Gary and I will be the nominees, but just for the sake of argument, if we were, I think we have an opportunity to run right up the middle, because 40-55% of the electorate thinks of themselves as economically conservative and socially tolerant. And that's neither party. The Republicans are not socially tolerant. They want to tell people whether or not they can have an abortion and tell gays and lesbians whether they can get married and live happily ever after, and so on. They want to round up immigrants. This is a nation of immigrants. I'm sorry. You know, anyone who wants to round up the immigrants and build a huge wall has not read a history book in a long time. The most famous wall in the 20th century was the Berlin Wall, which is completely infamous. But we're going to have the Ronald Reagan of Mexico shaking his fist on the other side of the wall saying, Mr. Trump, you know, tear down this wall. And he's going to have to tear it down because we will be on the wrong side of history.
In 2006, you almost ran for governor of New York as a libertarian. You eventually withdrew a nomination. Some people are upset about that. What has been your relationship with the Libertarian Party, if at all, in the ensuing 10 years?
Well, I've admired Gary's embrace of the party and his run in 2012. I mean, I was a finance co-chair for Mitt Romney in New York in that race and in 2008, so I couldn't really cross party lines, so to speak, and endorse Gary. But I told my friends, that's a guy you can go vote for and feel proud about. Gary and I were governors together in the late 90s. His first term was my second term, so we had overlap there. You know, I guess it's I've had a crush on the Libertarian Party from afar. I did have the designation in New York, and I went to them and said, please, please, please. I saw Audrey this afternoon, who actually nominated me from the floor for the Libertarian Party in 2006. But that was a semi-disastrous race. I mean, I crashed and burned as being a carpetbagger, even though I'm actually a native of New York State. But nobody would believe that because I've been governor of Massachusetts.
Last night, the vice presidential debate, I've heard a lot from a lot of people on the floor who are very upset that you said that the United States should belong to the United Nations. What does it make you feel like when the party that you want to represent includes a lot of people who think that's crazy?
Well, I didn't see that in the platform, which I read in its entirety this afternoon, and I was glad I didn't see it because I travel around the world a lot for client business, and I see a lot of suffering in Africa and Asia, and I do think there are things that the United Nations can be useful for. You know, I'm on board with those who think that NATO is suffering from a case of mission creep, and that's particularly bad for a country like ours that has intervention creep. in its recent past. And I agree with Gary and the Libertarian Party. We got to get away from that. No more boots on the ground, no more blood on the soil.
And yet you endorse John Kasich. He's a huge interventionist. You hear him talking about foreign policy. He wants to, you know, topple the dictatorship in North Korea and Syria and redline here and punch Russia in the nose there. What were you thinking about endorsing John Kasich in 2016?
My relationship with Kasich is on budgetary issues. Newt Gingrich asked me to come to Congress in 1995, right after Newt and those folks had gotten in, to persuade his members they could take tough votes on economic issues and budget issues and still get reelected. And I went down there with John Engler from Michigan, Tommy Thompson from Wisconsin, and we did that successfully. And Kasich was the boy wonder chair of the House Budget Committee that Newt had leapfrogged over 12 other people to become chairman, because he did his own budget every year, and he was the acknowledged master of the budget in the House. And he was a long, cool drink of water, because he knew exactly what had to be done in terms of balancing the budget, as we have done at the state level. Senate was a much longer longer road to hoe. The chairman said, do we really have to balance the budget in 7 years? Couldn't it be 9 years? Well, that's not with the program, as they say. So I got to know Kasich very well there in an area where he's an authentic American hero, namely the federal budget.
When you started in politics, your governorship is sort of associated with the 1990s. There was such a thing as the kind of socially liberal Republican
right.
governor or politician.
Right.
That was a category that existed, doesn't seem to exist. I associate it with sort of a good government Mitch Daniels type of thing. People who are interested in issues like privatization and other things. Where did that go?
It began to go in 1994 when things became much more partisan. When I used to see Newt when he was minority leader, before he was speaker, he had a saloon door on his office because the Dems didn't want him to be able to have a private meeting. And when Newt became speaker, he didn't forget that. So, you know, the atmosphere became a little bit more pained in both directions. And then you had redistrictings in 1992 and 2002 and 2012 that just drove both parties to the extreme because they want to protect their own members, so they gerrymander the congressional seats so that no incumbent is going to be defeated. And that means that the only thing an incumbent is scared of is a challenge from the right in the Republican Party or from the left in the Democratic Party. So you get much more extreme members and many fewer who are interested in compromising in the middle. The effect has not been good for the United States.
What has to happen in order for the Libertarian Party ticket to achieve what you imagine to be its highest possible goal?
Well, I don't think we're that far away in this of all years. I mean, Gary is polling, Gary Johnson, at 10% all by himself, without any burst of recent publicity. If he and I got to be nominees and got a burst of publicity, that'd be at 15% maybe. And that's the level where you get into the presidential debates. I could go around to my fundraising pals from when I was Pete Wilson's national finance chair, when I was Mitt Romney's finance co-chair in New York, and see if we could attract any angels of libertarian leanings. And some of these guys, you wouldn't have to persuade about the Libertarian Party. They lean that way. And they could potentially help to fund either a super PAC or a 501c4, which is another type of account where people can make large contributions. At the same time, I think we should have a Bernie Sanders web-based fundraising operation because we have an appeal to millennials. So you need a combination of media attention and money in the kitty. And then I think people really have to take us seriously. And we both know what we think, and we can string two or three sentences together. So then we get into the national dialogue, and I think that 20% goes to 25%. And from that point, it's Katie bar the door. Because if there are three parties there with 2 months to go, or a month and a half to go, or even a month to go, and it's 45, 35, 25, that's too close for the pundits to write anybody off in a crazy year like this.
Thank you very much
for
joining
us.
For Reason TV, I am Matt Welch.